Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 62 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition, and I'm your host, Keneally Roberts.
And I'm Dara Denisenko.
I do believe that this is the right time.
Governor Andy Beshear is urging all schools to return to or expand some form of in-person learning.
Kentucky lawmakers are weighing a bill to replenish the state's unemployment fund.
A new bill that caps insulin cost is headed to the state Senate.
A local program dedicated to mentoring teens in Lexington lost another participant to gun violence.
Winter weather has forced thousands of people across the nation to miss their COVID-19 vaccinations.
In sports, Round County teams are back in action tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 60% chance of rain showers tonight with a low around 31 degrees. We'll have an extended weather forecast after this news.
Governor Andy Beshear is urging all schools to return to or expand some form of in-person learning starting on March 1st. The long-awaited announcement came in the form of an executive order recommending but not mandating that all schools, public and private, look at ramping up in-person classes next month. The recommendation applies to districts where personnel have completed their vaccine series. In those that have not, Beshear is suggesting schools wait at least 7 days after teachers and school workers have received their second dose.
I do believe that this is the right time, though most districts, again, have already been doing it. But with cases going down and vaccinations going up, to move forward.
Fayette County schools are falling squarely within the recommendations, having just restarted classes for kindergarten through second grade. Grades 3 through 5 are slated to return March 3rd. All but 6 Kentucky school districts currently have some level of in-person instruction.
On Tuesday night, an impeachment committee voted on several motions, the most notable being the committee recommending to the House that no further action be taken regarding the impeachment petition against both Governor Andy Beshear and Attorney General Daniel Cameron. Both those reports were recommended and approved in open session. Committee Chair Jason Neems says essentially this means the work of the committee is complete, except for the dealing with the cost of the proceedings. The reports they discussed will be made public, and that is where the public can expect to learn more about what was discussed in the hour of executive session.
Kentucky lawmakers are weighing a bill that Republican sponsors say will help replenish the state's unemployment trust fund and set rules for waiving overpayments made to claimants. Republican Senator David Givens told colleagues it's the legislature that's had to come to the rescue of Kentuckians who were mistakenly overpaid by the state's unemployment office and in danger of having to pay that money back. Givens said in the rush to expand benefits in the early days of the pandemic, Governor Andy Beshear's administration stretched the UI Trust Fund beyond its limits.
It's never been intended to be used the way the governor intimated that it would be used or could be used.
Givens' bill sets up a mechanism for the state's labor secretary to waive overpayment of claims in 2020 that were not the filer's fault. Whether the legislative fixes will make their way through the General Assembly remains an open question, with this year's short 30-day session already at the halfway point.
A new bill that caps insulin cost is headed to the state Senate. WMKY's Lakin Hupp has the story.
House Bill 95 would cap cost-sharing requirements for prescription insulin at $30 per 30-day supply for state-regulated health plans. Representative Danny Bentley, a primary sponsor of HB 95, says the cost of insulin tripled between 2002 and 2013, going from $3 to $6 per vial. Bentley says that the increase is forcing Kentucky residents to choose between paying their rent or buying insulin. House Bill 95 was approved by a 95-0 vote and is heading to the Senate for consideration. For WMKY News, I'm Lakin Hupp.
Kentucky school leaders are weighing different ways students might be able to catch up in classes where they've fallen behind during the pandemic. On Tuesday, the state's top education official heard directly from students. Keeping kids learning during the pandemic has been no small challenge, but as schools begin to reopen, the question becomes how to make up for lost time. During an online meeting of the Commissioner Student Advisory Board, Fayette County student Logan Justice said proposals such as summer programs can't just be standard classes, and Education Commissioner Jason Glass agreed.
If it's going to look like this kind of classroom, we're going to lecture, we're going to sit there, we're going to learn, that's kind of like taking our summers away.
Yeah, and I think that's our greatest fear, is that, again, we create these extended school year, extended school day, summer school programs, and what we end up doing is putting kids in rows and talking at them, or even worse, put them in front of a screen again.
Glass said extra summer programs need to be meaningful learning experiences with more interaction and ways for students to connect with the material. He also said cherished rites of passage, such as graduation and prom, are more likely to happen in districts this year, though COVID-19 precautions will still be in effect.
Additional strains of COVID-19 are being found in the U.S. Public health officials are concerned that the mutated versions spread more easily and that vaccines could be less effective against them. Eric Court is a laboratory director at Blue Water Diagnostics, a company that runs test sites throughout Kentucky. He tells Wave 3 News the current PCR method replicates RNA strands and is still beneficial with mutated strands.
Now, we can't differentiate. We can't say this is the UK variant. We can't say this is the wild type or any of the other variants that are out there. But it wouldn't hurt our ability to say this person's positive, this person's not.
In last week's statewide COVID-19 update, Governor Andy Beshear confirmed two cases of the COVID-19 variant from the United Kingdom have been reported in the Commonwealth.
Winter weather has forced thousands of people across the country to miss their COVID-19 vaccine appointment. WMKY's Josh Grogan has more.
King's Daughter Medical Center sees 1,000 COVID-19 vaccine appointments per day. Last week, that number dropped to 600 because of the bad weather. Vaccine clinic coordinator Bob Hammond says 1,300 appointments were rescheduled on Tuesday. All appointments for the week of February 22nd through the 26th are full, but patients can request a later appointment or check for any openings by calling the KDMC COVID-19 hotline at 606-408-2683. For WMKY News, I'm Josh Grogan.
Many communities in Johnson County continue to see the impacts of the winter weather. More than 120 workers continue to hit the roads and bring power back to the area that went out for more than 10,000 members. Bruce Davis is the CEO of Big Sandy's RECC. He tells WYMT the crews have been hard at work fixing at least 200 power poles that were knocked out by the storm.
We totally understand the frustration, and we apologize for the inconvenience and the length of time that has taken. But the disaster and the weather that came in here with that massive ice storm, we just can't control.
According to Davis, the efforts are already a week ahead of the estimated completion dates, but they will not stop until everyone is back online.
Lots of questions remain as to why a downtown parking garage partially collapsed in Lexington. The garage was empty when it crumbled, with only snow and ice on the top deck and one contractor who was plowing and escaped injury. Allison Thompson works downtown and tells LEX 18 she had safety concerns about the garage in early 2018 when it belonged to another company.
When I saw the crumbling on the corner of the building and saw the major crack on the corner pillar, to me, it just seemed to be systemic of something that was going on internally throughout the structure. When I saw those cracks after I photographed them, I never parked underneath there.
There has been no determination that the collapse is linked to the 2018 repairs. Structural engineers are still waiting to look at the damage.
A local program dedicated to mentoring teens in Lexington lost a fourth participant to gun violence this week. The directors of the program are reflecting on the losses and the importance of the program in communities. A faith-based organization called the Lexington Leadership Foundation helps to remodel the city of Lexington by engaging people of faith, building relationships, and developing joint initiatives. Director of the Amici program, Maggie Middleton, says that just having an adult makes a positive impact in the kids' lives.
I have patients with kids just about how hard it is, how alone they feel, and there's some issues of depression. And just having an adult, even if they can't spend time with them in person every single week, having someone that checks in on them, that asks them how they're doing, asks them how online school is going, has made a really big difference.
For more information about various Lexington Leadership Group organizations, visit lexlf.org.
Appalachian lawmakers from both parties and in both chambers are joining forces on a bill to abolish the death penalty in the region. Since 1976, 11 innocent people have been exonerated after death sentences in Appalachia. Kwame Ajamu was on death row nearly 3 decades before being freed in 2014. He says removing the death penalty would be a victory for him.
Ending capital punishment in the state of Ohio would be like pulling a thorn out of my eye, putting my blood into my heart to pump freedom and life.
According to the Death Penalty Information Center, public support for the death penalty is at its lowest in a half century. Ohio is among the 28 states with capital punishment, with 141 people on death row.
Some of West Virginia's lawmakers are proposing abolishing the state's personal income tax during the year's legislative session. Social services advocates are saying the move would be devastating for children and families. Jim McKay is the state coordinator for Prevent Child Abuse West Virginia. He says the lost income would total more than $2 billion, forcing major cuts to state agencies, including the Bureau for Children and Families.
That's just heartbreaking. We know there are vacancies across the state in child protection services, and if there's budget cuts of the nature that is being proposed, many of those positions will remain unfilled with devastating consequences.
Estimates show without state income tax, West Virginia's child welfare system, including child protective services, and its foster care system would each face a 20% cut. Taking a look at the weather, tonight, showers mainly before 11 p.m., otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 31. On Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 43. On Thursday night, it's mostly cloudy with a low around 26. On Friday, a 40% chance of showers, mainly after 3 p.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 46. On Friday night, it's cloudy with a low around 41. And on Saturday, it's cloudy with a high near 56.
On our feature segment today, Fleming County resident John Colgan talks about his recently published short novel. WMKY's Sarah Mead has the story.
The short novel is titled Going Upriver to Burnside. It's a story about a young Kentucky farmer who goes off to fight in World War II. Colgan says the idea for the story came about when he was writing a play inspired by a Wendell Berry novel.
I came up with an idea for this story, but at the same time, I still wanted to write this play using Making It Home. And eventually this friend of mine said, well, why don't you just write to Wendell Berry and ask for his permission? He wrote back almost immediately and said, yes, you have my permission. But now I had the play I wanted to write, and I also had this short story. So it started out being something I was going to put in a play and ended up being a standalone story.
When it comes to writing, Colgan doesn't always have a set process.
Usually I'll get an idea and I'll let it percolate in my head. I might even go around writing dialogue in my head. And then I will edit and edit and edit, and I do a lot of research to make sure I've got my facts straight. When I wrote Burnside, I actually went down there and drove around just so I make sure I had my geography straight and so on. But then I just sit down and write.
There's a lot of work that goes into writing and publishing a book. Colgan says publishing can take almost as long as writing the story.
The writing and the publishing are two very different things, because it's a whole different world. From writing, there are so many things that you have to think about, like advertising and cover and font size and so on and so forth. It's time-consuming, but I do like doing it.
For anyone who may be interested in writing a book or novel, Colgan says his best advice is to just start writing.
Get an idea and just start doing it. There are all kinds of classes online, and there are books about writing, and there are all kinds of seminars, and of course, these day and time, there's a lot of online stuff, and there's a lot of Zoom stuff that you can do, so there's all manner of things that you can look to learn to start writing.
Colgan says aspiring writers are often told to just write what they know, but he doesn't agree with that.
He says in many cases, people can learn enough about a subject to write about it.
For example, a lot of the stuff that I've written about has been about World War II. Well, you know, I wasn't in World War II, but I was able to study it and find out facts and figures and so on and so forth. And that's how I did that. I think it's a very individual thing. If you get an idea, just find an idea and start writing about it.
Colgan's short novel, Going Up River to Burnside, is available at Coffee Tree Books, Barnes & Noble, and on Amazon. For WMKY News, I'm Sarah Mead.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, caring for the community by encouraging everyone to follow safety guidelines and stay healthy. Ruth Hunt is Kentucky proud with traditional candies and confections, Woodford Reserve bourbon balls, Laura Hemp's chocolates, and Blue Mondays. Ruth Hunt Candy celebrates 100 years in 2021, sweetening the distance between you and your loved ones. Ruth Hunt Candies in Mount Sterling, Lexington, and anytime online at ruthhuntcandy.com.
It's 62 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Keneally Roberts, here with Daria Denisenko and Sarah Mead, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Leanne Akers has a look at sports, but first, I just want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us this evening.
The Viking girls and boys are back in action tonight for WMKY Sports. I'm Leanne Akers. It's game day once again for the Rowan County Senior High School girls basketball team. Tonight's game in Elliott County will be the team's last road contest until next month, and the team has been facing similar struggles to those of Rowan. Head coach Matt Stokes says the Lady Lions are another team working to get their footing in a historically odd season.
I think Elliott County might have played less games than us this year. We've only gotten 7 games in, and I think Elliott's one of the regional teams that just hasn't got to do a lot. Of course, they were hit hard this past week with the winter storm, so hopefully everything's okay with them.
Tip-off in Elliott County tonight is set for 7:30. The Rowan County Senior High School boys basketball team is back on the road this evening. It's been a while since the Vikings' last game after weather conditions halted competition last week. Now they're set to face off with Ashland Blazer, a top 20 team in the state. Head coach Sean Thacker says his guys are in for a tough one.
We just can't worry about, you know, where we are, where they are. We just got to, you know, just take it as an opportunity to learn, to get better. Coach Mays does a great job with his team, and, you know, they'll be ready to go.
Rowan enters the game at 7-1 on the season. Tip-off in Ashland tonight is set for 7:30. Morehead State University's rifle program is the recipient of the 2020-21 Ohio Valley Conference Sportsmanship Award. It's the program's fourth all-time sportsmanship award. It's voted on by student athletes and coaches of the prospective sport. The team awards are bestowed upon the conference squads deemed to have the best exhibited the standards of sportsmanship and ethical behavior as outlined by the OVC and the NCAA. Included in the areas for evaluation are the conduct of student athletes, coaches, staff, administrators, and fans. The Eagles also won the honor in 2010, 2016, and 2017. The men's and women's cross-country teams at MSU have been preparing for the OVC Championship meet. The team will travel to Austin-Peay University this weekend. Head coach Clay Dixon says the weather has caused some creativity in training.
Taking what we can find. So we found a little stretch of road and we're able to get a good workout in that one day. But luckily, I mean, I think the hay was in the barn. We got to that point in the season where really we're just trying to stay healthy, and I think we're in a good spot.
The conference meet will be in Clarksville, Tennessee. Results from the meet will be up on the athletic page at msueagles.com. And finally, in sports this afternoon, Governor Andy Beshear has signed legislation aimed at securing the legality of betting on historical racing machines. WMKY's Heather Fannin has more.
In September of last year, the Kentucky Supreme Court ruled some slot-style historical racing machines in the Commonwealth were illegal. Beshear explains the measure protects the state's thoroughbred industry, but also says more work remains to enact a more fair and equitable tax structure. The Kentucky Equine Education Project praised Beshear for signing Senate Bill 120 into law. For WMKY News, I'm Heather Fannin.
And that's going to do it for sports this afternoon. I'm Leanne Akers.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, scones, cookies, and cinnamon rolls. Lunch items feature signature sandwiches, braids, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Curbside delivery at 780-4282, Facebook and online at rutabakers.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Once again, economically sensitive stocks led the way, with the Dow Industrials finishing with a huge gain of 424.51, finishing at 31,961.86, and at one point touching the 32,000 level for the first time today. The S&P 500 was up 44.06 at 3925.43, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 132.77 at 13,597.97. As mentioned, stocks sensitive to the economy reopening were your big winners, as Boeing was up 8% today and Chevron was up almost 4%. 10-year Treasury rates actually got to 1.4% intraday, which was the highest level in about a year. Additional comments by Fed Chairman Jerome Powell this afternoon, once again reemphasizing that the Fed would provide liquidity to keep interest rates lower. That talk helped bring Treasury rates down somewhat in the afternoon, but the higher rates definitely had an effect on the big tech stocks today, as Apple, Amazon, and Facebook were all lower in trading today. Tesla was up 6% on news that the ARK Innovation, the ARK Investors Exchange Traded Fund, bought a large block of Tesla stock yesterday when it dropped. In the commodities markets, oil was up 2% today, while gold was down 0.3%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX up $1.68 at $93.37, AEP down 99 cents at $77.10, Fifth Third Bank up $1.17 at $36.25, AppHarvest was down 52 cents at $33.48, Marathon Petroleum up 88 cents at $56.65, and Anthem was up $1.21 to finish at $305.79. Reporting from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking another look at the weather, on Thursday it's partly sunny with a high near 43. On Thursday night it's mostly cloudy with a low around 26. On Friday it's partly sunny with a high near 46. On Friday night it's cloudy with a low around 41. On Saturday, cloudy with a high near 56. On Saturday night it's cloudy with a low around 45 degrees. On Sunday, expect showers with a high near 56.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Leanne Akers, Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Carrie Stambo, Heather Fannin, Jonathan Burton, Lakin Hupp, Josh Grogan, Rachel Turner, WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Sarah Mead. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Daria Denisenko and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Keneally Roberts for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.